Blog Talk Radio.
Disclaimer: Tommy Noodles is not an attorney or a lawyer. Tommy Noodles does not practice law in any federal or state court system. Any information provided by Tommy Noodles to you, regardless of how specific, is not intended to be a legal advice under any state or federal law. Tommy Noodles provides research and a non-professional personal opinion. You are highly encouraged to do your own research. You bear all and full responsibility for understanding the law in your state and acting under those laws. Tommy Noodles bear no responsibility for your actions. This information is being provided because of great public resources. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
And there we are! We are back. We are live on the air. It's been a long time, but it's back. I know some people have missed it. I've missed it. It's, a great outlet. We all need to do things to better ourselves, make life a lot better for you. So we all live in a world where we all have problems. Not one of us can sit back and say to ourselves, oh, yeah, my life is perfect. My life is wonderful. We all find reasons to complain and become the victim. And no matter what we do in life, we all have problems. So it's time to stop being a victim. It's time to start changing your life. It's time to take personal responsibility and stop blaming other people. That the topic for today is, when will you be happy? That we all have this fantasy in our head that if something in my life was to change, my life would be better. If, all the people out there who listened to the show in the past, you think that if the family courts were different, my life would be better. You think that if I had a better job, my life would be better. If I had a different relationship, my life would be better. But then, surprisingly, all those things happen, and your life doesn't get any better. And you say to yourself, well, wait a second. You know, maybe if I move, my life would be better. So then you move, and your life doesn't get any better. You get a different job, your life doesn't get any better. You start a new relationship, and that one's just as bad as the last relationship. So you say to yourself, what's the problem? And then one day you wake up and you go, you know what the problem is? No matter, I've had 100 jobs in my life. I've lived in 9 states. I've, been in, all kinds of relationships. And every one of them was awful. And then I wake up one day and I go, wait a second. The one common thing they all had in common was me. I must have been the awful one. So you wake up and you say, okay, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to stop blaming the system. Because I had a million reasons why I could be the victim. Why I had it, I had a mom who had cancer. I had a son who had cancer. I lived with an alcoholic. I hated my job. I've lived all over. Poor me. But then you go, no, not poor me. It's amazing, and it's wonderful, and it's thrilling, and you stop looking at life with problems, and you say to yourself, you know what? Why do I want to bitch all day? Why does anyone want to listen to me bitch? That every radio show I've ever had was about me bitching, and now I'm bitching about me bitching. It just doesn't seem to be a good theory. So we are changing the concept of the show. It's no longer we are victims and that we're going to be angry and angry is going to change the system, because angry doesn't work. It doesn't. I know people who used to be angry. And speaking of which, I'm going to bring him on the air right now. Robert, how are you, sir?
Hey, who is this? Why are you calling me?
Exactly. Because I want to change your life.
Get off my lawn.
Exactly. I want people to stop complaining about the system. We're never going to change it. It's a $50 billion a year system. you think the government's going to say, you're right, we're going to hand over $50 million a year, and that we're going to admit that we did something wrong?
I got you on that.
No, I was just wondering if you seriously believed the government was going to admit that they were wrong and stop taking $50 billion a year from people.
You know what? I haven't seen the government admit they were wrong in quite a long time. It's even hard for them to admit, you know, the slavery still and the whole Indian massacres. Yeah.
If they haven't apologized to the Indians yet, do you think they're going to apologize to you?
Oh, hell no.
Exactly.
That's why I'm taking it back.
So you got these people, and they're doing all of these protests, and they talk to that giant dinosaur birds in my backyard that are screaming for food right now. So if you're wondering what that sound is, I forgot that they were going to show up. They need to be louder than I am.
Well, that's what happens when you live in the tropics.
Yeah, exactly. Look at me. I'm the Floridian living the good life now. That the dinosaurs show up.
Well, I'm on the Santa Claus diet.
Oh yeah.
I eat junk food 364 days a year and work my ass off one day a year.
That sounds like a theory to me. But so you get these people who think that if they do the protest and if they're loud and they're angry, that the system's just going to change.
Here, I'll give you a heads up on that one, Johnny. I mean, Tommy. Go inside for a second.
I was not expecting them to be. My fans showed up. They want
to. Well, I've talked to multiple here in Oregon. I've talked to multiple representatives and senators here in Oregon. I can tell you right now about the protests. They just get annoyed by the protest and basically go, I don't want to listen to them because they're loud and obnoxious. And I don't want to talk to them. That's pretty much
exactly
what all of them have said. The only way that you can get anything done is you actually go in and talk to these senators and representatives and get a one-on-one relationship with these people and explain to them what's going on. But you don't do it in an angry way. You know, have your information there. Talk to them one-on-one like they're human beings. And guess what? A good portion of them will listen. There are some out there that like, nope, not going to listen to you because, you know, they've already been bought and paid for. But there is still quite a few that will listen to you.
Well, the other thing is that we have to stop being the victims. That we've realized since we started this is the fact that we all felt alone and scared and didn't know what to do, and we thought that this was a problem for ourselves. So then we went looking for resources to feel a part of something. And then when we found people who endorsed us as the victims, we felt included in something. And then we became enormous, and we had to be a group of victims who have all been unjustly treated. But we still come at it as this is my story and this is my problem. Where if we want unity, we have to sit back and say to ourselves, we are all equal and we're all going through the same problem. And we don't have to go at it as a victim. If we changed our lives, we could change the world. If you took personal responsibility for your own crap, woke up one day and said, you know what? I'm no longer going to blame anyone else for my situation. This is my situation. Every bad choice that I made and had a bad outcome, I could tell you who I should blame for it. But in reality, it comes down to the fact that with this situation, I didn't know enough about the family court system, so I made a lot of mistakes. But in life, go out, train your brain, learn things, change your attitude. You think people want to, you know, be a part of your life, hand you over kids if you're miserable?
Here's an idea.
Go ahead.
Well, how about, you know, before you get married, you have to go to a class that basically takes you through the hells of a family court system.
No, before that.
You might think twice.
When you are when you're in high school and you're a 19-year-old kid and you decide you're going to go to a party and have relationships with some girl that you met at this party, you should know before you have relationships with her about the family court system. That before you're taught sex ed, you should be taught the family court system. That if you were 19 years old and you were told that for the rest of your life you will make $2.50 an hour, you will live in your parents' basement, you will never see these children, and you will be, you know, an ad in the newspaper will be taken out every Father's Day about how you're a deadbeat, and nobody you know will understand your story. You think that 19-year-old kids would enjoy that party as much?
Probably not. These are life lessons that need to be taught in school.
You'll never be able to afford to go to college. Your life would be emotionally and financially destroyed. So maybe we should teach self-esteem, personal responsibility in high school. 8 seconds of pleasure changes your entire life. And anything that, you know, and I tell my kids this all the time, is the fact that you might think that it's funny and you run up and you decide you're going to push some kid over because you think it's funny. But if that kid falls down and smashes his head open and dies, is that 8 seconds worth it? You might say to someone something that you think is funny, and you know that 8 seconds worth of humor might leave a bad taste in their mouth about you for the rest of their lives. I hate to sound like a Floridian guru, but that's what my life has become. Is it peace, love, and happiness? Is if we take personal responsibility for our own garbage. We can stop saying, if only, like I was saying that at work, I had a broken chair, a broken computer, and a broken phone. And I kept thinking, my job would be so much better when they finally get me a computer that works, a phone that works, and an unbroken chair. Well, last week they gave me everything I asked for, and I had the worst numbers ever. So you sit back and you say to yourself, but for months I sat there and I said, well, once they fix this computer, I'm going to be unstoppable. So again, it goes back to the topic of the show of, you know, people say if this changes, then I can be happy. I know a woman who for 6 years fought for her husband to get his kids back. Once got them. The situation in that household became so unbearable that the police had to show up. So just because you want something and it gets achieved, we're asking for the wrong thing. We're not taking personal responsibility for ourselves. We're not asking for the outcome. We're asking for a goal. The goal was to get the kids back. But the kids were so unhappy and so miserable in the situation they were in. And then they felt like their lives were upturned, and then they have this woman in their life now that they don't care for. But for years, she fought to get them in the house. So just because we ask, we were like, our goal is to get the kids back. My goal was to get a computer that worked. I got a computer that worked. But now, it's like the other day, I said, I just wish that the phones would ring. And then I got this woman called me and yelled at me. You don't want, you got to be careful what you ask for. So that's what I'm saying to people today. About it in an angry way. I was listening. I've realized over the last few months is that I'm allergic to people who don't take personal responsibility. It makes me very ill. Like you,
you figured out a way to, make yourself happy and stuff like that, be happy for the things that you do. And I've been doing the same thing and stuff like that. I volunteer, and I know you know this about me now. It's like I volunteer as a pirate at the local children's hospital when they need someone down there and stuff, and do things like that. I do the things that look for change and make me happy.
I always look for change. You know, it's always on the ground somewhere. But it's just crazy to me that once you start working your mind, you stop blaming other people. You stop thinking that your problems are other people's problems, and that if you could fix other people's problems, then you could fix yourself. The biggest problem with this, you know, family courts and trying to change the way things are done is the fact that everybody thinks that they're going to be the leader. That doesn't create equality. You're not going to be the leader. You're not going to be the next Martin Luther King. You're not going to make a change. So the only thing you can do is change the way you see the world. You know, once you stop being angry and bitter, people stop seeing you as angry and bitter. And when you go out and you tell your story, you know, hey, this is what happened. The family court screwed me over, and people listen to it and they hear an angry person. The stereotype kicks in and they think to themselves, maybe, you know, there's a reason. But if someone looks at you and says, you're an upstanding person, like, I don't understand it, then they'll start to listen. But if you're telling the story and the whole time you tell the story, I'm thinking to myself, you kind of, like, I don't want to listen to the end of the story because you sound so angry. So I can only assume why your ex-spouse doesn't want you near your kids.
Right.
And that's the problem with, you know, with this movement, and I'm trying to, you know, encompass the show into something bigger than just, you know, one issue of bad things in people's lives. It's like we focus on the biggest negativity in our lives. And while working with the family court system, is this was a big negative in people's lives. So, you know, that's what people want to focus on. But we all have major problems. We've all been in terrible relationships. We have all been in terrible jobs. And I have found that it's probably you. It's at least 1% you.
Oh, come on. It's at least 5% me.
Well, I was trying to be nice, Robert. I would go 15 with you.
Oh, well, yeah, there is that.
But at some point, when are people going to wake up and say to themselves, it's not the system. It's not the president. It's not people who like the president or people who hate the president. You have anger in your life toward anything, and like I posted this on Facebook, that, you know, right now Donald Trump is the most hated person in America, and I think it's just because it's an in trend. I think that a lot of ignorant people don't know anything about the president, but they hate him just because it's the in thing to do. But so I'm not saying I'm for or against him. I'm saying, who cares what I think? Who cares what you think? I know a guy who for the last 2.5 years has done nothing but 6 to 8 times a day posted horrible things about the president of the United States. And the other day I said to him, how has he responded to your posts? He doesn't even know you're there. Like, go find a hobby. You can hate the president because people keep saying to me, no, it's my American right. I could do what I want to do. And it's like, yeah, but find peace, love, and happiness. Why are you focusing on something horrible? So that goes back to what I was saying, is the fact that if you can spend 30 days trying to find the positive in what your worst situation is, whatever your situation is, whether it be a child with cancer or the family court system or living with an alcoholic, being in an abusive relationship, whatever your negative space in life is to spend 720 hours focusing on the good of it, I seriously think you can change your life.
Well, think about this. So, even in the not the Bill of Rights. Which one is it? The Pursuit of Happiness. You know, that's one of the things they talked about. You know, and I'm like going, everybody's it more or less in the pursuit of, I'm pissed off.
Well, and that's what it is. Is today you get rewarded for it.
Yep.
You know, suicide numbers are phenomenal. Every day you're hearing about somebody who committed suicide. It's become acceptable. And it shouldn't have to be. There is no reason why your problem is so big. And I've been through big problems. I'm not saying, you know, I've not been through your big problem, but I've been through big problems. I am, you know, I've been through hell, and there's a way to look at it, and there's a way not to look at it. You could sit there and you could say, oh, poor me, and have everybody at work come up and pat you on the back and tell you how sorry they are for you. Or you could say to yourself, you know what? This is an obstacle. It's not a problem. If you focus on problems in your life, all you're going to generate is problems. You know, because you wake up in the morning and you think to yourself something awful. And then you have a second thought that is awful, which reinforces the first one. And then you have a third one, which reinforces the second, the first two. And then your whole day is just miserable. The other day I woke up in a bad mood. And I said to myself, well, I could either be in a bad mood all day and make every single person I know pay for it. Or I could say to myself, what do I need to do to change that bad mood? And it's changeable. It's free. It didn't cost me anything to change my attitude. So, you know, maybe I am a Floridian guru. I sit by the pool and I tan all day and I contemplate on the universe. But, you know, and that's why I wanted to come back and do the show again, is the fact that for as many years as we did, you know, Leaving Footprints as a family court show, we dealt with people who were angry and upset, and that's the way they wanted to live their lives. They wanted to be miserable. They wanted to be the victims. But it's really simple. You know, every day Robert goes out and chases cows. That's, you know...
That's
your
fun
meditation
time.
In life. Yeah. You know, who doesn't want to do that? I go out and I do 4 miles a day walking, and then I do 1 mile in the pool. and you got to just, you know, like, I sound like a crazy person, but you have to clear your brain that, you know, it's that simple. Once you and take personal responsibility, drink lots of water. I found that drinking water has changed the makeup of my mind.
Water and sleep
actually helps. Water and sleep are free.
Well, at least for now.
Me. Yeah, well, until the government figures it out. But
yeah, the government will figure out a way to charge us.
Every job I've ever had, they gave water away for free. So there's got to be something to it. There are fountains right in the middle of the hallways. But it is changing your life is as simple as changing your mind. It's a simple concept. And like I was saying the other day, is give it 720 minutes. And after that 720 minutes are over, hours. I'm sorry. It's 720 hours. And you're not happy, you can have all of your misery back. But spend 30 days concentrating on being happy. And it's not going to be easy at first. It's not. Your mind's going to say, I don't want to do this. I'm so content in seeing the world in a horrible place that's where I want to be. And you just have to keep focusing. Meditation, you think that people who meditate are like weird people. I always did. But now you got to shut the committee up in your brain. and it's easy and it's free. And I wanted to come back and do the show so I get people to just shut up. Just shut up. It's that simple.
Yep. Definitely.
I'm shutting up now.
No, you're not. You're you.
Yeah. So I want to come back. I want to do the show again. I want to change the way people think. is that everything on Facebook is focused on the negativity. Every group that I've ever joined on Facebook was, look at me, I'm negative. I think I just answered a phone call.
Anybody there? Maybe. Awkward silence.
I'm still connected, but I think he just disconnected. Wait a minute. It says, you are not connected. Please call in. Am I supposed to call back?
Well, you're already on the line, so
I guess that's what I'm saying. I'm getting
Tommy,
a message.
Tommy, if you can hear us, call back.
Yeah, we're still here. We're waiting for the host to call back.
Well, hello, everybody. This is me and Jasmine.
Right. We're the guests of the show, and we are still waiting for the host to call back in.
Oh, definitely. He's a hoot.
He is. He is so funny. Wow.
Oh, yeah. He's a shadow of his former self. He's down 100 pounds and 10 now.
I guess
Florida will do that to you.
It's nice. It sounds great. He inspired me. I mean, I was exercising on my bike, but he inspired me to start walking in addition to my bike. So.
Well, when I was a lot younger, I went to Florida to visit family for the summer and lost 60 pounds.
Oh, my God. So Florida is it. That's really the place.
Yeah. I've lost weight there every time I go there. So, and my family feeds me quite a bit every day. So it's got to be something in the water.
Nice. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Hi, Tommy. Nice to have you back.
Yeah, I got confused. Well, I saw that my phone, I was on a phone call, and I thought, oh, I don't need to be on a phone call while I'm trying to do the show. So I hung up, and then I realized, wait, I used my phone to call the show.
don't worry. Me and Jasmine had a good time while you were gone.
Yeah, it was
that's
fine.
That's why I didn't panic. I thought, you know, I'll take my time. I'll see what I'm doing. But it was just so funny because I looked down and thought, why is there a phone call on in my phone? So I hung up.
It's you.
Well, that's hilarious. You know, these new fancy high-tech things called phones are new to me. I don't know how you kids do it.
Yeah, we were talking about the Florida diet and how I went down there to visit family one summer and lost 60 pounds.
Exactly. Well, welcome, Jasmine.
Thanks
for stepping
Thank
in
you.
And, you know, realizing that I was gone. And it's a pleasure. I can introduce you to the world. This is Jasmine. She is behind the scenes, and unless I'm dumb enough to hang up. So we thank you for all the hard work you do behind the scenes.
Thank you.
And in front of the scenes when I hang up.
Thank you, Jasmine.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
You should constantly send me texts not to hang up the phone.
I'm going to have to remind you from now on. I can see it.
Exactly. That's the great thing about doing this is that it's all new to me.
I don't think so.
It's all new to you, huh?
It is.
Yeah,
so
after
all,
26 years.
Yeah. Who knew that the host should stay on the show the whole time?
In order for us to hear you and, you know, kind of collaborate with you and have conversations.
And that's the way radio works, I think. So, you know, I told you we'd have problems on, you know, coming back. I never thought that I would be the problem.
It's good that you're realizing that you're the problem, and now that you have, we can figure out how to fix that problem.
He brings the show back. Yes, I'm taking personal responsibility, and I'm saying that I'm a dope, and that I make mistakes, and that I'm exactly like everyone else on the planet. I'm going to make dopey mistakes. I'm going to screw it up. But life is good. Life is phenomenal. this is great, the fact that we're back on the air and that we're talking. And, you know, hopefully there's someone who is listening. And I guess if you are listening, I guess you could call in. I could should give a phone number. You can call in at 563-999-3713. And I give it so the first time because so you can write it down, give it to a friend, tell them that, you know, we're going to do a challenge. It's 720 hours. And when it's all done and you're still miserable, you can add me to the list of people who piss you off. It's that simple. I guarantee it. That if you're not happy in 30 days, you can tell the entire world it's my fault.
I've been telling everybody it's your fault for 4 or 5 years now almost.
I know, but likewise, I've been letting everyone know the show would be so much better if it wasn't for Robert.
Right? It would.
Right? Because it's not my fault. If this show
no,
sucks,
no.
It's got to be your fault.
Oh, obviously.
So,
I've only been doing this for a couple of years. You've got like 26 years on me, so, you know.
Yeah, and yet you can still figure out how not to hang up. That's,
I get muted quite a bit when I start breathing heavy.
Oh, do you?
Well, yeah, somebody on that end came from...
No! Nobody's even paying attention to you. But no,
obviously,
it's great. It's a good thing that we're back. I'm glad that we can have fun, and I'm glad that we can figure out how to do this. We need to find direction and goals, and figure out what we need to do. How we need to get bigger. It's got to be bigger than just fighting for the family courts. We've got to fight for everyone who's miserable. We need to, because that's what the problem is that. We all became victims. We all became unhappy. But and we had someone to blame. We had the higher power. We had, you know, the evil empire. But even if the evil empire changed today, do you think it's going to change your life? Do you think that that woman who spent 6 years fighting to have her, you know, husband's kids back in his life ever dreamed it would turn out like that? That,
right.
You know, as you know, you in your mind, you have these hopes and these dreams that you're just going, you know, once this happens, I'm going to be happy. You know, I've lived in 9 states and couldn't find it until I eventually said, wait a second, it's that fat guy in the mirror. He's the problem. So then I thought, well, if I lose all the weight, then I'll be happy. Then I lost all the weight. And still, that miserable guy was still there. So you just have to say to yourself, wait a second, I have to stop waiting for tomorrow. You can be happy today. You don't have to blame anyone. You don't even have to exercise. You don't even have to eat healthy. You just have to stop and say, I'm not going to read the stupid post on Facebook any day, every day. That I'm not
yep.
going to post negative, angry things about the government or war or what China's doing. You think China cares about my views on what they should and should not be doing right now? You think they wake up and go, what's Tom writing about on Facebook today? So I can wake up every day and find the negative in the world and repost it so everyone can see. Oh, there's negativity in the world. We all know it. You don't have to post it. I swear to you, if you stop posting the negativity in the world, I'd still know about it. But why don't you get it out of your own brain? Why don't you start posting pictures of unicorns? The other day I posted a picture of Mr. T riding a unicorn. It took me just as much effort to find that photo as it did for me to find something negative that proved my point on why the world sucked. So I seriously think that if you spent the next 30 days, and even you, you reposted it and you said that you, you know, had nothing to do with your views on the president, pro or against. It's just, it's a, you know, we do these contests, all these challenges. You know, the black and white photo, we've all done it, the three of us, we've all done the black and white photo challenge. And we all loved it because we're creative people and we, you know, gave us a different way to see things. You know, you can go out every day, and the three of us, I know we've all experienced this, and we could take a beautiful photo. But just changing the setting on our phone changed the way we saw things. And it made me start to think that if we started seeing other people through a different filter in our brain, how would that change our lives? But nobody jumped on this challenge. I guess it, you know, it's easier to take black and white photos or dump ice on yourself than it is to change who you are as a person. But, you know, changing to black and white made me walk when, you know, around and find things in a different light. And, you know, it made me realize that in life I should be doing that too, that the universe sends you like these crazy things. And if you listen, you can hear it. And this black and white filter thing made me see life differently. So, of course, I made, you know, Robert do it. Because I know that you love photos and you love seeing things in a different. And you're like, yeah, I walked around and I saw things. And you were telling me how you got this great idea and you're waiting for the opportunity. And it's like, you know, we could just do that in life.
Yep. Totally agree with that one.
I agree with that one too. Like if you switch your mode of thinking and they teach you this in meditation or mindfulness courses, that if you just switch that negative thought off and you switch to a positive thought and you recognize the thought that you're thinking, oh, I'm having a bad thought right now, and you think about something positive, that it starts to change your outlook and your perspective. And then positive things come into your life.
Exactly.
But again, you got to be careful what you ask for in life, is because you can say, you know, I want, you know, a different situation, like the woman who wanted her husband's kids. I have learned that the universe has got an incredible sense of humor, and they will say to you, well, that's all you asked for. You know, you asked for the kids to be in your life. Now you have them in your life.
Right. That's right. My mom used to say to me, she said, always be careful what you ask for because you just might get it.
Yeah. And that's 100% true. Like the other day I said, I wish that the phones would ring, and I got the same woman call me back twice and yell at me. The phones rang. That's what I asked for. But, you know, it's just funny the way, you know, if you stop and you pay attention to the universe, it's the most amazing thing in the entire world. And I know that I sound like everyone I've always hated, but it is that simple. You know, you just have to shut up and say to yourself, this is what I want. I want bliss, cause of, and this is the outcome that I'm hoping that bliss brings me. You can't just say, I want to be driving a Porsche today, because you could be driving a Porsche today and drive through a red light and someone, you know, kill you. Well, you got to drive the Porsche that day.
Well,
know?
True enough.
So,
you know how I look. You know how I look at things. You know what's going on right now, because I've given you a rundown of the most recent stuff with Tommy. In my life, that's life. And I go talk to my counselor because, you know, I see a counselor because, well, there's a lot of stuff going on. And he looks at me and he goes, with everything that's going on, I can't believe you still are smiling and still just being you. Anybody else that I would have talked to over the years, they would have lost a long time ago. It's basically just about how you look at things.
Exactly, and that's it. And people, you know, when my son had cancer, people used to say to me, oh, I can't believe that, you know, you're, you know, who you are, that you're happy, that everything's going good. And it's like, not until you go through the situation do you realize what you're capable of handling.
Right.
And society's okay with you falling apart. Like, that's what they want. Everybody wants someone else to fail. So you just have to sit back and say, well, I'm not gonna fail because something is in my life that I don't want. You know, you have to learn from it. And what I've learned from this entire thing was when, you know, my son finally got cured and I said to him that I wanted to change my life. Just because as a father, I wanted him involved in my life to know what was, you know, I was moving, I was doing different things. And a 12-year-old boy who had just beaten cancer looked at me and said to me, if you want to change your life, you have to overcome fear. Is the most powerful thing anyone's ever said to me in my entire life. Because here's a little boy who had a terrible situation that no matter how bad I thought all of my problems were, I've never gone through chemo at 10 years old. So this little boy like changed my life and made me realize you're right. Like I spend my entire life in fear. I'm afraid I won't have enough money. I'm afraid I won't be loved enough. I'm afraid I'll do the wrong thing. Little stupid tiny fears. But then all of a sudden, like this big, like, you know, bitch slap from God comes along and says to you, what are you complaining about? You know, your own child just put, you know, the world in your lap. So, you know, now when I do things, I'm like, well, I'm not going to go back to him and tell him that, you know, I'm afraid of heights. Like, that's just crazy to me. You know, oh, daddy's afraid to get on the ladder because he's afraid he's going to fall down. Oh, yeah, that reminds me of the time I went through chemo at 10. You know, get on
the
ladder.
Yeah, Dad, what do you think about that?
So, you know, it's just funny the things that wake you up and make you realize that, you know, you're being ridiculous. You know, how bad could my life be? You know, how do I consider myself the victim because I had a child who had cancer? Oh, poor me, I had a child with cancer. Well, my child with cancer says to me, shut up. You don't get to be the victim. I went through this and I'm totally secure. And you go, okay, well, I guess, you know, I guess I got to stop being the victim in everything in my life. I was poor me. And it's just, it's weird to me that once I, you know, stopped and I took personal responsibility for even the littlest things, like traffic. You know, I no longer, like, cut people off, and I no longer give the finger, and I no longer yell horrible words out the window when I'm driving, because it's not important anymore. Slow down. Leave early. Yeah, it's just insanity to me what type of world we live in. And I'm coming from it as somebody who used to be fat and angry. You know, and I was entitled to it. As an American citizen, I have free speech and I have free choice and I get to do whatever I want to do and I get to be miserable and no one can stop me. And where does that get us?
Exactly.
With this, you know, family court movement thing, they decided they were going to have their million man march. You know, and all these people took time off of work. You know, they're fighting to be with their kids, but somehow was able to take a week off to fly to the Capitol and spend money that should be going to their kids. And, you know, to fight.
Oh, you mean,
this,
you mean all 200 of them? You mean all 200
yeah,
to 300
exactly.
of them?
And then the news reported it, Donald Trump rally, because it was majority men. So, of course, men protesting, it's got to be pro-Trump. So the concept of what they were even doing was lost. So, you know, like, I don't understand why people think that if we all get together and we rally, you're going to get heard. You know, they all had a goal. The goal was is they were going to get a million people to show up and they were going to make a change. Well, 300 people showed up and it was reported as the wrong thing. They did not ask the universe for the, you know, the outcome. The outcome is different than the goal. And, you know, all these people who, you know, do dopey family court, you know, radio shows, they're angry, they're arrogant, they're narcissistic. They think that they're the voice of a generation. I'm not the voice. I'm just a dope who wants people to, you know, relax and realize that I'm one of you and I don't have the answers. So I do the radio show so I can get people on to help us with the answers, to, you know, so we can become a community that works together. Because what I don't know, like, Robert knows. I did not make a mistake picking Robert because he knows numbers. He knows facts. He knows stats. I know how not to be quiet. But, and again, Robert's just a simple, dopey man who, you know, knows how to retain stuff. But we do the show so we can get the answers, not because we have the answers. You know, if we had the answers, we would have never started this stupid show.
Well,
so that's what people got to realize.
Well, in college, I took journalism, and basically, you know, the whole thing was about who, what, where, why, and how. You know, and, well, in the family court system, guess what? That doesn't exist.
No, dollars do.
Yeah.
if you show up with dollars, you will be heard. It has nothing to do with gender. Every time someone tells me this is the father's rights movement or it's anti-women or it's pro-moms and only moms get the advantage in the family courts, and it's not a gender issue. It is stupid, you know, because dollars don't have genders. They will take the dollars from anyone. Being the victim, because if – you know, every single person who's listening to the show who has been in a relationship that had to go through the family court system will tell, you know, and if you ask both sides is the victim. Whether you don't think that your spouse was a victim, she thinks she was a victim. Whether I think that mine was, she'll tell you she was the victim. While the two of us will sit here and say, no, we're the victims. And then you finally sit down and realize, wait, we can't all be the victims unless there's something bigger to this.
Yeah.
And there is. It's a $50 billion a year industry. So if we all stop going, you know, the next generation of divorced couples or separated couples, because you don't have to be married to have children. But if everyone who has a kid today decides, no matter what, live or die, if something happens, we're not going to the family court system. That's the only way the system's going to change. So we need to change the way people think. We can't. Our stories have been written. No matter how loud we get, no matter how angry we get. The system has already written our story for us. So we have to decide, well, we can sit back and we can be angry or we can be bitter, or we can just become happy in the moment. And once that happiness starts to come, then everything else will follow. For me personally, there were days where I seriously thought I would never, ever, ever have a relationship with my children. I could not get a hold of them. I went to court and I was told that I had to stop calling my ex. There would be no contact with my children. And there were days where I thought, well, I just shouldn't wake up anymore if I don't have a relationship with my children anymore. But with time and believing in the universe, and believing in asking and for an outcome, not just a goal, I have a relationship with my children now, which isn't going to happen for everyone. But I think that if you are a better person and stop being angry, and every time something terrible happens, you saw it as a negative and you started seeing the positive, maybe life would be more enjoyable and you wouldn't have to be, you know, on medications for depression. You know, you wouldn't have to have 80,000 prescriptions just to get through the day. And once you start becoming happy, it becomes addicting. And even the worst situation, if you just focus in the next 7 seconds and not the future and not the past, you could probably get through the next 7 seconds and be all right. And then you have to go for the next 7 seconds. And you start small, and that's the thing that I realized with this whole stupid weight loss thing, is the fact that when you sit down and you say to yourself, I want to lose 100 pounds, it's daunting, you know? Then one day I decided, you know, I'm just going to walk until my brain is clear. And it took 4 miles. I'm not going to lie. Every day it takes me at least 2 miles before I can shut my brain down and actually start to, you know, be at peace. That's why I walk 4 to 5 miles a day, not because of exercise. It's that I keep saying to my brain, we're going to keep going until you shut up.
So you're the poor man's Forrest Gump?
Exactly. Is that just keep running.
Yeah.
It's not – I don't do the walking for exercise. I do it until – I'm able to calm my brain, and I'm hoping one day I could do it in a 15-minute walk. But even today, I made it 2 miles before I could concentrate. And that's just the way that the brain works. The brain wants you to be unhappy. I don't know what it is. Every single one of us wakes up in the morning in a hole again. And it's our job to dig ourselves out of the hole. And for me, I get up and I start walking, and I don't want to. This is not something that I want to do. Every day I say to myself, you know, we're not doing it today. We're not going to do it. And then my brain says, good. I'm going to throw, you know, conversations at you with people you're never going to talk to again. Like someone you saw in the supermarket yesterday that you should have said something to because they were rude, but you don't have that conversation. So the next morning you wake up and you have it in your head. I know I'm not the only one who does that. if I am, I'm crazy. But I know that we all have a committee in our head that keeps going and going and going. And every day I punish them. I go, we're going for a walk until you're quiet. And then the weight loss came with it. So, you know, wake up tomorrow, go for a walk until the people in your head are quiet. And then you can get through the day and you can be happy. And all you have to do is one more step. One more step, and then I'll stop. And then before you know it, you're doing 5 miles a day. Not on purpose. And anybody who says, and I was one of these people who always said, I don't have the time in my day to do that. It takes 1 hour to walk 4 miles. You don't have 1 hour in your day. That's lunacy, because it makes the other 23 hours a day bearable. And I'm not some guru. I walk. I you know, I'm not running. I'm not, you know, doing a marathon. I'm not conquering the world. I'm doing the laziest exercise there is.
Well, if you say walking's the laziest, I mean, 4 miles isn't lazy.
No. What I'm saying is the fact that I started out doing something simple. Like, I'm not telling you to start lifting weights. Not you. I'm not saying to do anything, like, magnificent. I'm just saying, you know, start somewhere. I said to myself, what's the one thing I can do? Well, you know, I figured I'd just walk around the block. And then I walked around the block, you know, there was still garbage in my head. So I figured I'd walk a little bit further and a little bit further. And then eventually I get to the 2 mile mark and I can, you know, start to concentrate and start to, you know, make sense of the world. And then I realized, oh crap, now I still have to turn around and go back. So that's how I got to the 2 mile, the 4 mile mark, because it takes me 2 miles to shut my head up. But again, I think that if you just go out into the world, take it 1 second at a time. If I can get through the next second of my life without complaining about something, I'll do all right. And then in 720 hours, after looking at the world in a positive light, you're still miserable, then blame me. Hate me. But hopefully, if anything comes out of this dopey show, it's just the fact that, you know, life isn't worth bitching. That anyone who's known me for the last 46 years has sat back and said, that man loves to complain. He loves it. I think they teach that in high school on Long Island. But now I'm enjoying the hell out of life. I'm, you know, like my life is good right now. And if you asked me a year ago if I thought it was possible to ever have hope or happiness again, I would tell you it would never happen. It would never happen to me. I was, you know, gonna probably be dead in a year and miserable. But a year later, I'm not dead, and I'm in bliss. So it can happen. Stop bitching. Stop complaining. Take personal responsibility. Every single morning, I wake up, and I look at that fat, angry guy in the mirror, and I make him take responsibility for the crap that he does. And at the end of the night, he's not so fat, and he's not so angry anymore. The ugliness has gone away. The bitterness, the blaming. I just want to hug people and cry emotionally now and tell people that I love them and that I appreciate them and that I don't take anything for granted anymore. Because every second, you know, that's all you're living. That's all you're responsible for. You're not responsible for your past. Because you can't change it. I spent years trying to change my past. And the DeLorean never showed up. So I said, screw it. I'm going to leave that in the past, and I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm going to change the future. And then the sequel, whatever the DeLorean, the train, or whatever the sequel of Into the Future was, that never showed up either. So I said, okay, all I need to do is be responsible for this space and time right now, then I'm going to enjoy the hell out of it. So, and I'm going to make other people listen to me. I'm going to make other people sit back and say to themselves, you know, if that angry, fat, bitter man can do it, then why can't I do it? Why can't I not be fat and angry and bitter? Because I've been through it. I, you know, like I said, I had a kid with cancer. I had a mom with cancer. I lived with an alcoholic. I hated my job. I hated my world. Whatever situation, you know, I created, it was 100% my responsibility and my fault. And now I love every second of it. And I'm glad to be able to go on the air and talk about it in a dopey fashion. But I got like 30 seconds to try to finish this show up. So
you got 2 hours. You got a 2 hour show, man.
No, I'm just doing an hour.
Well, it says 2 hours on the show.
That's in case I wouldn't shut up, but I thought we'd do an hour. You really think people want to listen to me go on for another hour?
Well, there's some of us maybe, but, you know, I'm entertained the whole time, so.
Oh, please. You're entertained. You're waiting for me to shut up so you can talk. Maybe I'll let you do the second hour.
Yeah, I'm entertained.
I'd probably get about
10
minutes and be done.
That's why you want to go to the second hour. You're waiting for your turn to talk.
Both of us.
You're like, wait a second. We have to keep going. I haven't talked yet. This guy won't shut up.
Oh, man.
No, I thought we talked about doing an hour. Well, why don't we do show
okay.
on the air?
Okay. What's our next show going to be about?
Show meeting right on the air. Well, if we're going to, you know, do the after show meeting on the air, then we can bring Jasmine back on. You don't have to hide in the corner. You can come on back.
Hi,
okay,
Jasmine.
Hi.
Oh,
yeah, I'm
is.
Just letting you guys do your radio show. I was staying quiet so that I'm not trying to take your show over.
Oh, well, no, now we're doing the after show meeting. We're just going to do it live on the air.
Okay, so ad lib.
Oh, okay. yeah, well, I guess we should talk about what the next show is going to be about.
All right.
What is it going to be about?
So I guess it's going to be about the same thing, where it's just going to be about, you know, like today's topic was, you know, how to be, you know, stop hoping for tomorrow. Stop hoping that tomorrow will things will get better. If something was to change, when will I be happy? So we'll just come up with a topic, you know.
Should we leave it up to our fans?
What about that?
Yeah,
should we leave it up to the fans? Should we leave it up to the fans to come up with a topic for us?
Let Jasmine go.
Oh.
What about this positivity and how it relates to our lives and including family court?
Ooh. Kind of like that one.
Yeah, you know, like let's get people to actually like change, like, you know, take time and think about the thing that you hate the most in life and focus on it and only see something positive, how it's going to change your life and how it's going to make you better. And, you know, stop blaming it. Stop being the victim and, you know, see if it works.
Okay.
I got to work on one of my fears, Tommy.
Yeah, which one is that?
It's you're going to love the irony of this. I have a fear of short people in mass amounts of numbers.
Like a lot of short people? Like.
Yeah, if I'm the tall person, which, you know, I'm 6'3", and if I'm in a group of people that all of them are, or a majority of them are under my armpit, it kind of freaks me out a little bit. Now, you want to know the irony of it?
Is that Jasmine's 5 foot tall?
No. Pretty much all my family on my dad's side is like 5'2 or less.
Nah.
Wow.
Well, I'm intimidated by tall people. I'm not kidding. I always have been. They make me feel, inferior.
Hmm.
Yeah, when I went to the Bubbles of Love in California, and I got to meet all these people I've met online, they all looked at me and they're like, "You're a lot taller than what I thought you'd be."
And I thought you were much, you know, I was like, wow, I thought you were like 8'2". So you were much shorter.
That's
going to
be my son. That's going to be my son. He's 13 and 6 foot tall now.
That's crazy. You're going to be, you know, at his armpit. You're going to finally know what it feels like. But I've never felt secure around tall people.
It's their armpit, isn't it?
I don't know what it is. I think they make me feel like a child, like just from their height alone.
Well, I had a friend that was 7'6", and he was the only person in the world that actually made me feel small in a good way.
No, in a good
way.
I basically hugged him to come up to his belly button.
That's adorable. No, tall people just make me feel like a child.
Me too.
So,
I'm down here,
I'm
going to
come down there and hug you, Tommy.
That's why I had to find you, you know, across the country. So this way I don't have to, like, stand next to you and be like, "You make me feel small."
It's your armpit. It's in my face.
Yeah, can you get your armpit out of my face, please? But you are the most adorable pirate I've ever met in my whole life.
They've hashtagged me as the worst pirate ever.
I thought Johnny Depp was.
Well, see, I take after Johnny Depp in the real sense, so that's why they all tell me that, I think.
Yeah, because when I first met you, I was like, "Damn, is that Johnny Depp?"
Right.
I really thought, oh my God, you look just like him. So,
yeah.
Oh, you're even a worse liar.
Oh, please. I go to your Facebook page just to stare at your picture of you in a pirate suit.
Hey, but I look awesome, okay? I look freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that if anybody wants to check him out, it's his profile photo. And, you know, it's definitely worth, you know, a minute or two going on Facebook and checking him out.
Hey,
oh, I'm very colorful. I'm very colorful.
I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
Which one?
Okay.
And that would be, yeah, sorry, Tom,
yeah.
I have a quick question for you, and I want to know
Caller,
if you can
go
give
ahead.
Us your, I was wondering if you can give us a background on your interaction with the Fathers' Rights Movement and how this all started for you.
Robert, you can go first.
Oh, well, I won't go into detail, but in December of 2012, I was accused of domestic violence and basically kicked out of my house and my kids taken away from me for this. In the next 2 to 3 months, I started online looking up father's rights type of stuff. And like Tommy, you know, we both looked looking for this kind of stuff, and we found that there really isn't nothing out there. It's just they were just a bunch of groups yelling and screaming about how the system sucks, and no one was offering any kind of advice of how to fix the system or help them out. So I started a page, and that's when I met up with Tommy after I started the page and met up with quite a few other people going, look, I'm going to help you out as much as I can. And, you know, and do what I can legally to help you out where I can. And, you know, I met Tommy. I met Carrie out of Las Vegas. I met Nancy out of Arizona and so many other people. And with Tommy and the radio show and stuff like that, it changed my whole outlook of how to look at things instead of just going, well, I hate everybody. I hate everybody. I hate this whole system. I hate my ex. I hate my ex-in-laws. I hate everything and stuff like that. No, I was like, well, no, I really don't. I'm really hating myself for what's going on and letting it happen. So it was just basically a matter of hitting up with the right people at the right exact time, and this is where we're at now.
Good answer. Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah.
And then for me, you know, I was in a happy marriage, I thought, and I loved my children more than life itself, and everything was wonderful, and it was a beautiful Tuesday morning, and then it was Wednesday morning, and I was told that I couldn't have access to my children anymore because that's the law. And I thought, well, that doesn't make any sense. How can you be the world's greatest father on Tuesday and on Wednesday, you know, you get limited access to your children? Like, that's the dumbest concept that has ever made sense to me in the entire world. And I thought, well, we're going to have to change this. And everybody kept saying to me, it's your ex-wife's fault. And I was like, no, it's the system. Like, she's only doing what she's told she can do. No, it's her. She's angry and she's bitter. Yeah, she is angry and she's bitter, but she's doing what she's entitled to do. It's not like she's the first one to come up with this concept. You know, she paid an attorney who told her what she was entitled to, and she fought for what she was entitled to. It's her ignorance on her end as much as it was my ignorance on my end. My end is I didn't know how the law worked, and I showed up to court, and they taught it to me. She didn't know how the law worked, and she showed up, and they showed her that if you show up with a check, you get different privileges. So she was only fighting for what she was entitled to. So my point of view was is that I wanted people to realize that I'm not one in a million case. It's not me against my ex. It's me against the judge. The judge's viewpoint against the system. I wanted people, I wanted people to be against my ex-wife because of, you know, who she is and what she's done. But I didn't want people to think that she had so much power that she could have this done. I didn't want people to give her that much power. Yeah, it's the system that is screwed up and horrible, but I wasn't going to allow people to say that she had power over me. Because, you know, anyone who shows up to court with a checkbook will get the same allowances that she did. So don't say that she's more powerful than I am. So then I went online and I tried to find the answers. And there are no answers. There is no Cliff Notes. There is no Family Courts for Dummies. There is no quick fix. You go on, when I first started this, you go online and people were teaching classes on how to be a better man, which would make you be a better father. Well, I was a great man and I am a great man. I don't need to take a class on how to be a good father. On Tuesday, I was the best father that ever happened. On Wednesday, the family court says no. So I didn't need a class on how to be a better person. And then I went online and I found, you know, more groups and they were all victims. And I was like, great, I'm a victim and you're a victim. Misery loves company. Let's be victims together because that validated me. So I became a victim and I've met other victims and we were all a clique and it was great. And we were all like, woo. And then we all became angry and we were all going to change the system. And we, you know, got pitchforks and torches and we were going to burn down the city to prove our point.
Right.
And then it didn't get any better. No matter how big we grew, it wasn't getting any bigger. And the bigger we grew, the more I realized, wait a second, it's not just fathers who are getting screwed. It's mothers who are getting screwed. And worse than that, it's every single child who's ever been through the family court. I've been doing this for 5 years, and I constantly ask for one child to come up and admit that they're happy, that they were in a happy, loving, fit family on Tuesday, and on Wednesday they were thrilled that they weren't in that same family anymore. And I haven't found one kid who was thankful for what the family courts did for them. Yes, I will never once ever fight for a terrible situation if it was abusive and it was horrible and you had to get out of it. I'm not fighting for your rights. What I'm fighting for is happy, loving, caring, fit parents on Tuesday who aren't on Wednesday because the family court step in. If you're an innocent, loving, caring, wonderful person, I will fight for your rights forever. But it's funny because whenever you tell somebody that you're against the family court system, they bring up, you know, child abuse and child molestation and all this horrible things. And it's like, well, that's where the stereotype comes in. Is that everybody thinks that the second the father isn't in the relationship anymore, he's a pedophile, which is a horrible jump. It's a horrible jump. But it's an incredible stereotype that has been around since the 70s. It's anger and it's bitter and, and it doesn't make any sense. The minute you say to somebody, oh, I don't live with my children, their opinion of you changes. So, again, I didn't want to be angry at my ex-wife. I wanted to be angry at the system, and I wanted people to know that I was angry at the system. So I started the show. You know, I met great, amazing people who have changed my life because of it. But within the movement, I also found people who wanted to be the Martin Luther King they were going to tear you down because they felt that you were in their way of being the voice of a generation. And I never wanted to be the voice of a generation. I just wanted the ability to get the answers. And if you call an attorney on the phone and you say, I want answers, they say, write me a check. But if you call them and say, I want answers, I'll invite you on my radio show, they'll jump at the opportunity to do it. So I needed answers, and I wasn't going to pay an attorney. So I started doing a radio show, and I was able to get attorneys on, and I was able to get, you know, people who are making a difference on, and I was able to get, you know, get the answers that I was looking for, which was able to help me with my case. So I don't use the radio show to tell you that I'm an authority figure. I use the radio show to get the answers that we all need. So that's my story. I'm just a dope who wanted to be cheap, I guess.
Thank you, Tom. And thank you, Robert. So, I appreciate you answering those questions.
That was a great question. It was a great question, and it gives insight to people.
If you really look into that question, so look at it, it'll help like me and Tommy. It helped us kind of like more realize what's going on. And so look at it, it's like get down to the deep end of it, and go, oh yeah, that's exactly why I got into it, and this is where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's good to know, you know, and you can see the morphation, if that's a word. You've seen how we've morphosized from angry and bitter and a victim, and it's just me, to there's a lot of us out there, to, you know, I can get people to bounce ideas off of, and there are some crazy people within the movement that I don't want to bounce ideas off of. And then there are just a lot of genuinely nice people who are scared and alone, just like you are, who want answers. And you know, like Sherry and Ron Palmer have done more for my life than I'll ever be able to repay. And they're out of Texas, mm-hmm. and they do fixed family courts. Amazing what they've done for me. I could never afford their services, but through willpower, I was able to, you know, have them on the show a lot and get their services.
So we have a caller on the line.
Oh, we do.
Yes, and they are from 917-728-1135.
Well, don't give their phone number out.
Go ahead, you're on the air. Hi.
Wait, hold on. Okay, now you're on the air.
Go ahead, you're on the air, caller.
Maybe the caller doesn't want to be on the air.
Okay.
Well, I heard him there for a second, then Tommy did something, and then they weren't there.
No, they're still there. They're on hold. Hold on. Okay, caller, you're on the air. That'll work. Hello?
Caller?
If you're the person who called into the show, now would be the time to talk.
Your phone number is 1135. You're on the air?
No.
Hello?
Hello? We hear you.
How are you?
You're making voices.
I didn't know. I'm doing the radio show.
Yeah, you're on the radio show. Caller.
Okay.
Okay,
I'm hanging up. Okay, so that's why I never pay attention to calls. So, who knows?
I think
they
were still asleep.
By the way. I don't know. It sounded like they were having a better time than I am. So I appreciate whoever tried to call in. I appreciate that. I wasn't expecting phone calls today. I guess I should get the phone number out more often. We do expect phone calls.
Yes, we do. I actually sent it out to a few people. And caller, we appreciate you calling in. If you want to call in again and have a conversation with us, Tom would be looking forward to that. Right, Tom?
Oh, absolutely. If you want to talk. If you just want me to spend 20 minutes pretending like we have a caller. But the phone number is 5999-3713. And if you want to enjoy some wonderful, magnificent conversation with me, Robert, and Jasmine, you can call in right now. And, you know, just listen to us babble. That would be magnificent. But if you just want to sit in the background and listen to us babble, you can do that too. Or if you've already turned this off because it's garbage and it's horrible, I know you'll listen again. I know you'll be there. I have no doubt in my mind that it irritates you that I'm on the air doing this. But you'll become a giant fan. And you'll love it. You'll be like, I hate him, but I can't stop listening to it. Because he makes everything so incredibly humorous. So
that's why I stay on.
I appreciate the haters more than I appreciate the people who love it. Because I know I'm going to turn you. Every single one of my listeners hated this at the beginning. They're like, this is dreadful. I don't even listen to my own crap because I hate it. So I understand why you hate it, but I make so much good damn sense that you'll be back. You'll be back just because it irritates you so much that it becomes an addiction.
That's awesome.
So,
Thank you.
You're my favorite addiction, Tommy.
I know, right? It's just I've seen it before. How many times have people told me they hated the show and now they love it? Which should be, I think, a backhanded compliment. But I've gotten that more than anything else. Is when I first listened to you, I hated it. As if that's supposed to make me feel terrible. But hate away. Hate away. You'll be back.
Oh,
keep coming.
I know who
back
that
is
was.
What I
know
oh,
who
I know.
That was. Okay, can I tell you?
No. Because they're gonna come back. No, they're going to come back. They're going to come back on the air, and then it'll be a big surprise.
All right.
Because I know it was Donald Trump. He's so interested in what I have to say that he's finally going to give in and be like, you know what, dude? I need your opinion now. I could not run this country without you. So I know it was him. I know. So you don't have to tell me. Let it be a surprise to me.
Okay. All right.
You can tell me later, Jasmine.
All right, I will. I think he's going to be interested in knowing once he realizes who it was and what it's all about and some changes that we can definitely make with the site and with the show and the program, which will better.
Oh, it is Donald Trump then.
It is. It absolutely is. You know, so absolutely.
Well, I'm going to have to get going, Tommy.
You're the one who wanted to go an hour. We can do. Yeah, I guess you're right. We'll end it early this week.
Well, my mom's going to a birthday party, and I have to take her.
Oh, I wish that I tell her that. I wish that I could be her date today. I know she'd love
I
to.
I will, buddy. Oh, you know she loves flirting with you.
Why wouldn't she? She is my biggest fan. So please tell her that I wish that I could be her date this afternoon.
Oh, come on. We know Mama Noodles is your biggest fan.
Yeah, I know. I think your mom gives her a run for the money. But you tell your mom one day we'll be together, okay? I'll be your stepdad, okay, Robert?
I will. I'll talk to you later, my friend. Bye, Jasmine.
You got it.
Bye, Robert. Nice talking to you.
Same to you.
Then we will end the program. We will call it a day for this time. We will do better next week, I promise. That, you know, for 26 years, I try to do a better show every time, better than the last one. And luckily, I set the bar so low that it should be a lot easier next time. So no fears at all. Hopefully, it won't suck as much. But you'll keep coming back.
It was awesome.
'Cause the listeners are going to be like, he's got to get better. He's got to get better. So they'll come back next week and be like, wow, he's got to get better. So I'm completely not worried about it. If there was any listeners out there today, I thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to this. I realize that there are a lot of better things for you to do. There are other airlines that you could choose. You don't have to make your ears suffer through this garbage. But it means the world to me that anyone would take time out of their day to do anything, especially when, you know, it involves other people. But I do recommend that you take the next 720 hours and just try to be positive. Try it. We will keep track of it. And at the end of 30 days, if you're still miserable, you can call me and you can tell me that it didn't work, that you still hate everything. And, you know, just make sure you call in to 563-99-3713 and tell me how incredibly miserable you are and it was the worst 30 days of your life because all you did the entire time was focus on happiness. Sounds like a miserable way to spend the next 30 days, but try it anyway. And when it's all said and done and you're still miserable, you can have all your misery back. I guarantee it. So I'm going to end the show, and I thank you for your time. Good evening.
Disclaimer. Tommy Noodles is not an attorney or a lawyer. Tommy Noodles does not practice law in any federal or state court system. Any information provided by Tommy Noodles to you, regardless of how specific, is not intended to be a legal advice under any state or federal law. Tommy Noodles provides research and a non-professional personal opinion. You are highly encouraged to do your own research. You bear all and full responsibility